the most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network. The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is the Total Package, Lex Luger, and you are in the room with Brady Hicks.
Geez, good start, Brady.
I thought you were going to play it.
What, Les Lexi Lexi? No. I didn't know we were going to hear Bruce twice either.
This is the Total Package, Lex Luger. You are in the room with Brady Hicks.
Play it again.
And welcome to In the Room, proudly part of the VOC Nation Radio Network, VOCNation.com, DBradyHicks.com. I'm Brady Hicks. I'm joined, as always, by DJ and Ray and Derek and Cassie, and we got a great show. I know I say that every week, but I'm excited for this one. I am, because
you step over the music every week too. You just got to let it play.
Well,
let it go.
How could he not be excited for this show? This is a show that is so good. All of our bumpers have to be played twice.
Twice.
Mm-hmm. All
now,
of them.
Now, just to clarify that, I told you I was going to hit that network bumper. Now, did you hit it as well?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, then that's
right. See, even the VOC programming knows that we are the best damn show here, and so they need to get in every possible plug they can.
That's right.
Just like all of you, the listening audience, you should all download this show, then delete it from your computer and re-download it just so you can listen to it again.
I'll do you one better. I think you should download it, rename it a different file name, and then download it again. So that way you're not deleting it. You just have it twice.
855-862-7234. If you want to call in, be part of the show, that's a toll-free number. 914-338-1885. We have Headbanger Mosh from the Attitude Era, guys. This is another exciting one brought to us by our lovely Kathy.
When is that going to be happening? In about 5 minutes? 5 to 10 minutes? 10 minutes?
Yes.
Well, before we get to
this interview will actually not be available on the WWE Network. So
no, and I speaking of which,
don't log on there to listen to that interview. You can only hear it here.
I'm going to steal a sound effect from another show, but we are going to be talking about the network. And
Wayne going to drive the deep left. It's got a chance. It's out of here. Home run, Darren.
All right. That is my review of the network. They slammed it out of here with a home run. Absolutely nailed it.
Oh,
you know, I thought the funniest part about the network debut was that, you know, I kept seeing people talk about how, you know, the network is so great. And it's like 1 p.m. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm at work. I'll get to it later, I guess.
No, I'm kidding. I was,
but yeah,
I signed up at like 8:54, I think. They actually like put it up a little early. And I was signed up immediately. But Brady thinks it's, wait, let me see if this will work for him. I don't know.
The player's strike will happen tomorrow.
No, not player's strike. I thought that was a strikeout. Let me see.
Right. 3-2-10. Swing and a miss. Struck him out.
All right. He thinks it's a strikeout.
I unfortunately am not part of that 80% that's enjoying the network like they should be. Because every friggin' thing I click on, the only thing I can get to load from Video On Demand is the TV 14 warning, guys.
Well, then maybe they know something. You shouldn't be watching that shit.
It's a disgrace. And then today, I even had to adjust the parental settings because for some reason they adjusted them for me. So then I figured that out. I go to play it. I play an ECW show. I get about 30 seconds in, and it pops off, an unexpected error. At what friggin' point is it not unexpected when it happens all the time?
Well, when you got to go out and, you know, throw down some cash on an Apple TV, stop playing, dicking around with these Roku boxes.
That's right.
That's $100 Roku box, damn it.
Well, Apple TV is $100 too, and I'm watching it, so you probably should make a better investment.
$100, Brady. We are rolling in VOC dough right now. You just go up to the Mother Nipple office, up to Bruce's office, and you see if you can coax a TV out of him there. Yeah,
the
Mother Nipple.
Head up to the Mother Nip.
That's hilarious.
Word to the Mother Nip.
The Mother Nipple.
Dear Mother Nipple, please supply us with TVs. Thank you.
Oh, that's funny. Very funny. Well, I think it's a blast, man. I got to be honest, and I don't think anybody can argue this, but the live stream's been like watching a cable channel, man. It doesn't, it's just like no stop, no hesitation, nothing. It's just like straight through. HD quality, boom. Like, I watched the, even though it's not that great of a show, but I watched the Raw pregame show, and it, like, I had it split-screened with Raw on my TV, so like it like faded out to black, and then like 3 seconds later, the logo came up on the other side of the TV heading into Raw. It was like instantaneous. It was like a pay-per-view pre-show. It was crazy.
Now, DJ, I'll be signing up for it either this weekend or next weekend. What do they have as far as like, is it all, can I get older stuff or is it mostly newer stuff up right now?
They have every pay-per-view up ever. They have...
No, I want to go earlier than that. Like if I need to get my Bob Backlund fix, can
well,
I get
the,
that
the,
yet? Or does that...
The closest
does,
thing
does
that you'll see that...
Be?
Not on demand, but they have, you know, they had like a WCCW, like old show on today. You know, they show some old random stuff. And then they have that other show called Legends of Wrestling where they'll go back and talk about like, you know... used to be on 24/7. So, you know, they're showing that. Yeah, they're showing that.
I
they had one of those on today on Big Men.
I understand you can actually, they actually have live footage from the circus. You can see guys wrestling bears. You know, you have to scroll back to like the 1885 tab, but it's there.
Wow,
oh,
wow,
that's good.
Wow.
For the people that can get the on-demand. You know, for those who can't, whatever. But anyway, guys, I hate to break up this love fest, and believe me, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the network, and I know everybody's excited to talk about that. But joining us on the line right now, guys, I have a treat for you. Courtesy of Kathy, I have a former WWF Tag Team Champion, a guy who goes by a Tag Team Champion of the Universe, guys. We're talking about a former Beaver Cleavage. Are we all on the same page here?
Yes.
Headbanger Mosh, Chaz Warrington, is on the line with us here tonight. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I was good, and I was enjoying the intro I was getting until you got to throw up Beaver Cleavage. I mean, really?
Oh. How can you hate that?
Really, Beaver Cleavage? You had your big, nice big build-up, and then you throw in Beaver Cleavage, and you pause afterwards.
Everybody's got
one
of
those,
though.
That was one of my favorites, though.
Yeah, everybody's got one
like
that.
Yeah, I love Beaver Cleavage.
Yeah, that was great.
Well, Beaver was fun, but, I mean, come on now. I think there was more to me than just a month of Beaver Cleavage. And that's all it was a month.
It's a memorable
a
month.
What a month.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a memorable month.
We could talk about Flying Nuns.
We could talk about that. That lasted like a month, too. If not, that lasted like 2 weeks.
So which one was better? Was it Beaver Cleavage or was it the Flying Nun?
Well, the Flying Nuns was a good time. That was a little crazy. That was probably a little crazier than the Beaver Cleavage thing just because of the way it went down, and I was being told I was going to hell when people were coming out of the church there in New York. The Beaver cleavage thing was, doing the vignettes was fun, and, I mean, hell, let's be honest. My face was in boobs. Of course Beaver cleavage was more fun.
I think that's why I liked it.
Yeah, that would have, I honestly think if they would, if that would have been let to go and run, that would have really gotten over.
So, looking back on it, is it just that it was a little too one-dimensional? Is that why you weren't given the chance, you think, to run with it? Or, I mean, what happened there?
What happened was is that was right around, that started kicking off right when Owen had his accident. And then Sable had filed her sexual harassment suit. So anything controversial like that, it's just cut off. So, unfortunately, because of some other things that were going on, that's why I got cut off. At least that's the story I was given.
And I'm sure you were very sad about that.
You know what? I think at the time I was, like, a little relieved, but reflecting back, I don't know. I think it would have been okay if it went. I mean, it was fun. It was a fun character. People would have gotten into it. And, you know, that was the whole thing back then was, you know, everything back then was geared towards, you know, sex. And that's exactly where that was going. That was the whole gimmick was insinuating I was having sex with my mother. So, like I said, I mean, you know, you had the Godfather, you had Val Venus. I mean, you know, you had meat back then. So, I mean, that was right up the alley of which all the biggest things that were over. So there was no doubt in my mind that it would have gotten over.
It's interesting that you say that because, obviously, the gimmick that that we all remember you for, the gimmick that definitely got over far more than any others, it's ironic in a way that, you know, controversial things like that you didn't get to run with, but you were a headbanger for the longest time. You're a former tag team champion, and you guys, for a while there, you were the face of the tag team division in WWE. What do you think it was about the headbangers in particular that that really connected with the fans?
I think what connected with them was we were fun, we were there to have fun, and we interacted with the fans. You know, even in the airports, even coming in and out of the buildings, I mean, even when we went out at night, I mean, you know, we'd go to hotel bars, we'd go to clubs, you know, we interacted with the people. The people could see that. It was the type of music that was, you know, getting over back then that the people were listening to. And we were ourselves, and, you know, we had a good time, and I think people saw that in us when we're walking to the ring laughing, you know, it was genuine. It wasn't forced. It was natural. So I think that's kind of the reason people were able to get behind it is because they were able to feel a little bit of themselves in what we were doing. And I'm a huge believer if you're in there having fun, the people watching it are going to know it, and they're going to have fun. If you're not having a good time, it's going to come across in what you're doing. And I think the people just caught, they got what we were doing. They got it, is what it is.
I've heard so many times, Chaz, that the best quote-unquote characters in wrestling are the ones where it's your real personality. Are you basically saying that you were a headbanger at heart?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went to, in high school with one of my best friends, you know, we went over to Philly, over to the old Spectrum. We went to concerts. We went to underground clubs in Philly, you know, where they were, you know, stage diving and to heavy metal music. So I went through all that. So as soon as Cornette pitched the idea to us when we were down at Smoky Mountain, I knew exactly what he was talking about, and I was all in.
It's interesting that you bring up Cornette, because I know that he had a huge influence on your career, obviously, you know, from Smoky Mountain all the way through what you were doing in the WWF. Is he the reason, pretty much, that you guys got your break with the WWE?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say no, because what happened was is we were in Smoky Mountain. We wanted to go to Smoky Mountain. We were wrestling as the Spiders. Cornette didn't like the gimmick, so he, you know, pitched a headbanger thing to us, and we kind of took off with it. Smoky Mountain had shut down, and that's when Cornette was in the office, you know, with WWF, and he had went into Vince, and he said, hey, I got these two guys. I think you should, you know, take a look at them, give them a dark match. And Vince said, well, tell me about them. So he told Vince about us, and Vince said, well, aren't those they've been up here before, right? And Cornette said, yeah, they've been up here as the Spiders before. And he's like, yeah. He goes, I know, I don't need to see him. He goes, put them under. That's when they started that part-time contract. That's when, you know, T.L. Hopper and Freddie Joe Floyd or whatever the hell he was, and all those other guys, the Goon, they were there. And so that's actually how we got our break. We got signed with that part-time deal. And from there, you know, we kind of just got over on our own. And from there, it just took off. But, yeah, I mean, I owe everything to Cornette. Cornette, you know, was great for us, and I could never say one single bad word about him.
Now, why do you think it is that Cornette, or Corny, as a lot of the guys call him, why do you think it is that that Corny has trouble kind of staying places for too long?
Well, because Cornette's his own person. He speaks his own mind. He's not going to be a yes person. If he doesn't like something, he's going to tell you it. And not everyone can handle that. You know, he's his own person. He's going to do his own thing. And, you know, his thing is, if you don't like it, too bad. I don't have to do this, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And, again, if you don't like it, screw you. But if you do, here I am. Let's do it. So, you know, he speaks his mind. He's his own person. You know, it is what it is. Not everyone can handle that.
I mean, here's what I'm thinking about. And correct me if I'm wrong. I don't mean to assume anything here, but, you know, you mentioned Jim Cornette not liking the Spiders thing. I don't remember too much about that, but you come up to the WWF and you know, like you said, you're working part-time, but right away you're a flying nun. I mean, is that something that he would have been vocal against? I'm just curious.
Yeah, there was a lot of things when they were trying different things. I mean, my opinion there is Vince is a huge proponent of creating characters, creating the guys. He wants it to be his idea. And my opinion is that if he didn't create it, then he's not going to be a big fan of it. If it's not his idea, he's not going to push it as much. So he was trying to create his own thing. He liked what we did. He wanted to be controversial. The Flying Nuns would have been controversy again, and, you know, controversy causes interest. So that was, you know, an idea Vince had, and he tried running with it. And, yeah, he got some controversy for it, but it turned out to be a lot more negative than he expected. So, again, that got squashed also. But I didn't care if I was a Flying Nun or a Headbanger or a Beaver Cleavage or walking on my hands backwards in the ring shaving my ass. You know, I was just happy to be there. I was excited about, you know, being able to show what I could do and entertain people and do one of the things I love doing, being in the ring. Didn't give a rat's ass to me.
Huh. Well, let me ask you this then. Your career with WWF, by and large, very much tied to Glenn Ruth, your partner, Thrasher, for those who don't know. Was there any point at which you decided, where you made a conscious decision, like, hey, I maybe want to take the singles route and see what I can do on my own?
Well, the whole idea with the Beaver Cleavage thing, that's the way it was originally supposed to go, because at that point, Glenn was hurt. That's when he had blown his knee out. And he was supposed to go and do his own singles thing, and I was supposed to go and do the Beaver Cleavage thing. And then when that failed, the storyline came back to putting us back together. And then when Glenn finally was, you know, ready to come back, that didn't exactly work out either. So then that's when, I think at that point I had a stigma stuck on my head of being a tag wrestler, of only being able to do a tag team, and that's when they put me with D'Lo. So, I mean, yeah, at that point, I mean, when I first went in, did I ever thought of going off as singles? No. But once I did the Beaver Cleavage thing, I was like, this could be a good opportunity for me to do something on my own. And then I went back to doing, you know, to being a tag again, which I absolutely love doing also.
Now I've had other guests on the show who were with the company around the same time, and it's always interesting to hear what they think about this. Do you think it hurt you in a way that you didn't seem to say no to very much that they came up with, you know? I know a lot of guys have taken another route with their career and said no to a lot and been a lot more vocal about what they will and won't do. Are you pretty happy with the way things were then?
I had the attitude, and this is probably something I may have done a little differently. My attitude was, I'm here. If I do what they want me to do, then I'm here. My initial thought was always, and goal was always, to wrestle until I was about 40 and then retire from being in the ring and be an agent. And I always thought, okay, I'm here. Let me do what they ask me to do. Let me show, you know, I'm a company person, and I'll do whatever's needed and, you know, just go with the flow. Obviously, from being there and seeing the way things happen, that, in my opinion, at this point, is not the way to go, because I know a lot of guys who went in and argued and said, no, I'm not doing that. I think I should be it this way. I should do this. And you know what? Their careers took off, and they were there longer, and some of them are still there. And then there's other guys who, you know, did what I did who are gone. So, I mean, you know, I'm not really sure what the right answer there is, but looking back on it, it seems like the right thing to do would have been to be maybe saying no to certain things and arguing, and not arguing to the sense of arguing, but arguing for why I think it's wrong for me to do that for my character, maybe shows a little bit more, and things may be a little bit different. But, you know, at this point, I don't know. But looking back, maybe do things a little bit differently, sure.
I have a question. You brought up Lowdown, the tag team you had with D'Lo, and I've seen interviews with D'Lo where he mentions he wasn't too fond of Tiger Ali Singh, where he had you guys come out with the turban and stuff, and he told a couple horror stories. What's your thoughts on Tiger Ali Singh, and did you get along with him at all?
Yeah, I mean, as a person, I got along with him. Was I crazy about the turban? Absolutely not. But again, at the same time, it goes back to me being, you know, I don't want to say I was a yes man, but just kind of going with the flow, because my thought process at the time was, Vince had already sunk a lot of money in the Tiger Ali Singh. If we go along with it, it's going to be more TV time. It's going to be a bigger push. It's going to lead to different things. As a person, I like Tiger. He was great. He was okay. I had no issues with him. Was I crazy about the turbans? Absolutely not. Do I think D'Lo and I could have gotten over on our own? Oh, hell yeah, with no qualms whatsoever. I think D'Lo and I are the only tag team ever to be taken off the road because our manager got hurt. I mean, he got hurt in a handicap match against the Dudleys, and all of a sudden we were taken off the road, and we were like, whoa, what's going on? Like, part of, at that point, Tiger had stopped talking, and D'Lo and I were talking, and the angle we were going with was Tiger wasn't talking anymore because he was getting so disrespected. And we had said, hey, this could be a great opportunity, leave him home and say, look, you're disrespecting him so much, he's not even coming anymore. And then D'Lo and I had talked about it from there. We may be able to get that angle and then start turning to different things and get away from it altogether. But, you know, we were told, nope, stay home, wait for him to come back. And then that was pretty much the end of my run, being there.
You know, you're kind of known as a tag guy. You know, as much fun as we had reminiscing about the Beaver Cleavage gimmick. But tag wrestling is down right now, and you know, it takes kind of a different climate, and you have to kind of be able to work with the other guy, you know, for a long period of time to be able to get that kind of chemistry, or at least you have to be able to hit it off with them. You know, do you see tag wrestling ever coming back in a really big way, the way it was maybe in the late 80s through the 90s?
The only way it's going to come back is if Vince wants it to come back. That's my opinion on it, because the indies, everything follows what Vince does. If Vince wants tag team wrestling to be big again, it's going to be big. But if you look at the track record of it, all the big tag teams that get pushed through Vince lately, and I'm not going back as far as like Demolition and, you know, the Rockers and Road Warriors and all them, you know, from my time being there, it was throwing two guys together to get some kind of storyline over, and then you knew those guys were going to break up. You know, when I was there, yeah, you had some solid tag teams, you know, Edge and Christian and the Hardys and, you know, the Outlaws again. You know, the Outlaws were there. But for the most part, if you really look back at it, it was more of a, you know, singles guys putting them together to create some kind of other angle with it. But again, I reiterate, my opinion, the only way tag team wrestling is going to get over stronger like it used to be is if Vince wants it to. Or Hunter at this point. And it looks like Hunter's trying to put a little bit more in it, but I don't know. You know, I know he supposedly has a lot to say, but I don't know how much, you know, he still has reins or how much Vince reels him in on his ideas.
I did want to ask you this, actually, because I don't know if you actually watch WWE as it is today, but the tag team champions right now for the last 2 months have been the New Age Outlaws.
Right.
Not ironic. Okay. I mean, that's got to be an encouraging thing, right? I mean, to see, or is it more like, do you think WWE, like, kind of need to move on and build some younger guys up there?
Well, I mean, there's a couple ways to look at it. One way you can look at it is it's time to move on, put it on younger guys and get them over to get the belts over. The other way to look at it is Billy and Road Dogg are an established team from, 15 years ago, but they're still an established team. So they've been using them every week. They've been on the pay-per-views. So maybe it's a way to almost give some credibility back to the belts before they move them on. Because let's be honest, if you take the belts from who Billy and Road Dogg win the belts from?
The Rhodes Brothers. I see where you're going with this. It makes complete sense what they're doing.
If you take the belts from the Rhodes Brothers and you drop them on the Usos,
makes
how many
no
people
sense.
Are going to buy that and follow it?
It does so much more. It does so much more for the Usos to beat the Outlaws than it does to beat the Rhodes Brothers. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that.
Exactly. It's the same thing with the angle that they started doing with Daniel Bryan, with not giving him the respect, not giving him the title match. I mean, you give him the title match right away with no build-up. What's it mean? It means nothing. So it's kind of the same thing. Put it on to us that, it was great to have Dustin and Cody as tag champs. I thought that was great. I thought it was great to see Dustin back. Dustin looked better than he did when he was there before. I love Dustin to death. And it's great to see that. But at the same time, you knew that wasn't going to go anywhere. So let's put it on two established guys who can teach the younger guys how to get themselves over and can get them over at the same time. I mean, it's a good idea.
I happen to agree with you. I totally agree with you, and I got what you meant right away. But with that said, what you're describing, the Outlaws don't have probably too long of a run in them under that plan. I mean, do you think there is much of a future for legend tag teams like, say, the Outlaws or the Headbangers or whoever?
Well, I can tell you this. Glenn and I can get back into. I mean, we're still doing shows together now. I mean, and we're hanging with all the young kids, and I say young kids, and, you know, it makes me feel and sound a lot older than I am. But again, you know, I seem older because it was so long ago. But, I mean, we run circles around half these kids in the ring now. So, you know, I think as long as Billy's in awesome shape, as long as their bodies can hold up to it, I mean, sure, why not? Why couldn't they go? I mean, they can work, you know, a lighter schedule on the road. They're smarter about what to do now. I mean, we don't have to do, you know, the crap that, you know, the Hardys did through the tables and all that. We don't have to do all that to get over it. And I think that's part of the point, is maybe to show these young kids you can, you know, make your career longer by telling a story and doing different little things and slowing down instead of just jumping all over the place and being crazy.
What was it that was so special about that era with you guys, with the Outlaws, with the Headbangers, with any number of other tag teams that were around at that time? I mean, as opposed to today, I mean, why is it that those older teams seem to have so much more longevity?
Well, we were allowed to work together longer. We were given more time. I mean, with... You think about it, back then they had Monday Night Raw, and then you had Superstars. That was it. And Superstars was a syndicated show. I mean, you have Raw, you have SmackDown, you have that other, what's that Main Event show or whatever it is?
Yeah, Main Event.
On ION. I mean, you have all of these different shows, and then eventually, you know, SmackDown started, then we had Sunday Night Heat, we had more time to get things over. There's so much TV now. It's so flooded that there's no time to really let storylines and angles and characters build up. And everyone with social media now, they want everything done now. They want the instant satisfaction right now. They don't want to have to wait for it. I mean, I think that has hurt. I think that's hurt the business a lot. And, you know, the mystery of who a person really is kind of taken away because you can't go on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that other stuff and see them in their normal everyday life and things like that. I think that takes a lot away from it, and I think the fans that don't want to wait, they don't have the patience anymore. They want instant gratification, and you can't give them that and get people invested in it.
I totally agree. And actually what I'm thinking as you're talking – I'm reminded of, and again, I don't know how much you actually actively watch WWE, but one of the
sounds
young,
like
up-and-coming...
sounds like he's up with him a lot, Brady.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure about specific.
I'm a flipper. I'll lay here in bed, because I get up at 3:45 every day, because I go to the gym early, and then I take my son to school, and then I work, and then he's got activities, and I got activities, and I'm kind of a flipper. I usually catch maybe like the first half hour, 45 minutes of Raw, and then the rest of it I catch up on when I'm scrolling through Twitter. So that's about how much I get of it.
Gotcha. Well, there was this young up-and-coming tag team. And Derek, you know what I'm talking about here. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. The primetime players. You know, two relatively unknown guys. I mean, Darren Young mostly known for being gay at this point, I guess. But it seemed like they were really getting traction as a tag team, and it seemed like a lot of people were getting behind them, kind of like the Usos. They split them up 3 weeks ago. I didn't even realize they did, and I actively cover the sport, and I didn't realize that they were split up. It was confusing to me, but you got to wonder if that whole mentality isn't also killing tag teams. You know, let's just use them to try and make one single star at some point.
Right. I actually saw that happen, and I thought the same thing. And then the other day, for some reason, it popped into my head. I think the greatest angle they could ever do with the two of them, because if you really think about it, when a tag team splits up, which one usually gets over and gets a bigger push? It's usually one that's supposedly the heel, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think the greatest angle right here would be for, I'm mixing their names up now. Titus is a tall one, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think for him to lose every single night and then the other one to go over every single night, because that's just going to piss Titus off even more and build up an even better angle. I mean, that's just my opinion of getting a better angle out of it. But, yeah, at the same time, I agree, putting them up way too soon.
And I agree with what you said. Now, I not ironically at all, it's actually what you'd expect. Titus O'Neil beat Darren Young at the last pay-per-view pretty handily. In my opinion, again, I'm not sure exactly how you feel about it, but I have an idea now. I feel like it's a real loss for tag team wrestling in general.
Yeah, I think it's a loss, but I think if they were going to build an angle out of it, again, my opinion would be to let Darren Young go off and start winning matches, even if it's like by luck, and Titus just keeps losing, it pisses them off even more. It could build up a better angle, a better storyline out of it. I mean, just having Titus Young go over on him, Titus and O'Neil, whatever, I just got his name wrong again, isn't really going to do anything. Again, my opinion, but yeah, I think they broke him up too soon.
I find it interesting. Was there ever a time before Glenn's injury when you guys were talking about maybe doing a split yourselves?
Nope, never.
Was that something you would have entertained?
How long did you guys really fit together?
I think if it was done properly, sure, we would have entertained anything. But, you know, at that point, I had, up until Beaver Cleavage, I had never wrestled. I wrestled maybe three or four matches on my own. Everything had been as a tag team with Glenn. I've never
yeah.
really done anything on my own.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Yes, how long, Ashley, have you and Glenn been a tag team?
Since how long have we been a tag team?
Yeah, how many years?
I started in June of 93 down at the Route 30 flea mart, which I know you remember. I started June of 93. Glenn was training me. I think we started tagging November of 93, and we took off to go to Memphis April of 94 to go to USWA. So, what, 20 years now?
I remember all the times with the that stupid Philly string used to guys used to come out with.
Larry used to hate that. Larry actually said after the second time, he said, you guys can't do it anymore. And we're like, well, we're making too much money off of it. He goes, then it's your job to clean it up. We were like, that's fine. So we stayed after every show for like an hour or so cleaning all that crap up.
I remember.
You talking about Larry Sharp? Is that Larry
that?
Sharp you're talking about?
Yeah, Larry Sharp down at the Monster Factory.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we both started.
You know what else is interesting? Because I didn't realize this before. I actually thought you were around a little bit longer. When you were in WWE, you were only 3 or 4 years into your career. That in and of itself is pretty unique because most guys kind of build to that over a longer career, whereas you were there so early. Do you think it would be different if you had waited a couple years and then jumped in?
No, I don't think it would have been different at all. I think I would have had the same mentality as I did when I got there. Because my whole mentality was, once I get there, okay, I'm set. Let me do the right thing. Let me not get in trouble. Let me keep my nose clean. Let me keep to myself, and I'm here. Waiting a couple years, I don't think would have made a difference. If I went back now, I think it would make a difference, only because I'm older, more mature than I was back then. Back then, it was, you know, I was still all like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm WWF. I can't believe who I'm around and, you know, and stuff like that. I think now would be different because I am a little bit more mature and I do know to speak out a little bit more about things and how I feel. I think that would be a difference. But, yeah, I don't think it would have made a difference at all. And I just happen to be, I say it all the time, very lucky with my career, the way it went, because everything just kind of fell into place. When one door closed, three more opened for Glenn and I. And the positive side for me was Glenn had been in the business for 3 years already. You know, he had been up to WWF to do the squash matches, the Saturday morning shows. You know, so people up there knew him already. You know, he already had a couple of connections with Cornette and Lawler from doing independent shows. So, you know, as soon as we started tagging and that really started gelling well and the spider thing started getting out there real quick, I mean, you know, it literally was, we were on a show with Lawler, I think, in February of 94, and he saw it, and he was like, yeah, I want to have you guys come down, and boom, there we were there 2 months later. So everything just, you know, went from one thing to another.
Do you think having...
Go ahead. Picture. Sorry. I actually found an old picture of the spiders that I have.
Really? Somebody
you
just sent me one on.
From.
Somebody just sent me one on Facebook from where we were in Arkansas, which had to be 95-ish.
Well, this is outside of Overbrook, I think.
Oh, okay.
Do you think it was funny? It's so interesting to me, and I apologize if I'm like dragging this on, but I find this fascinating. Like, do you think having Glenn in your corner and to look up to or whatever, you know, as you're so young in your career, do you think that kind of kept you from always being like starstruck in that kind of an environment?
No, I was actually I was actually very starstruck. I mean, I have a great story, and I've told it before, where the very first I was only training 3 weeks down at the school when WWF was in the area doing TVs. And Glenn said to me, he goes, hey, come on. He goes, we're doing these TVs. And I'm like, I'm not ready to do that. I said, I don't even know what I'm doing. He's like, don't worry. He goes, they're not going to use you. He goes, you know, you get a little paycheck, and, you know, they're going to see your face and blah, 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 blah. I remember walking into that locker room, and I was like a duck on the pond. My feet were paddling like a duck. I mean, my insides were turning. But on the outside, you know, I was like a duck across the water. I was nice and smooth. But, No, I was very starstruck at first when I started doing it. I mean, the very first match I had was 3 weeks in against Adam Bomb, and if you go back and you watch the tape, half the match I'm covering my mouth because I'm laughing and smiling the entire time because I can't believe I was in that ring. So I was very starstruck at first. The good part was is I had Glenn who knew we clicked right off the bat, so he kind of knew how to tone me down and, you know what I mean, help me control my emotions when it came to showing exactly how starstruck I was, if that makes sense at all.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Now, real quick, before we let you go, I'm just curious, looking back on the Headbangers and on Mosh specifically, actually two questions because I just thought of another. What was it like to work with the Insane Clown Posse? Like that must have been a pretty cool experience.
Yes and no. The yes part was Vince brought them in. They were getting paid. We were working against them, so therefore we were going to get used. Kind of like the whole Tiger Alley thing. They were getting paid. They were putting us against. We were getting used. We were on TV. The no part was when the idea was, the Vince Russo idea was to have them turn on the Oddities, which we did. And then the four of us were going to be our own little faction. That's when all the factions were there. That's when the Nation of Domination, DX was forming. Everyone had their own faction, and that was going to be our faction. And we knew they were getting paid. Anyone who gets paid is getting used. That's just the way it is. And they did the turn. We did the turn on the Oddities. We cut Luna's hair. The next day we walk into TV, and we're like, where are the clowns? Clowns had walked into Vince's office and demanded more money. And Vince told him, I'll think about it, come back tomorrow. When they came back tomorrow, Vince wouldn't let him in the building. Totally squashed it. So, again, good and bad.
Wow. I never heard that story. Obviously crap rolls downhill sometimes. Is that like a case where that affected you guys and what
yeah,
they had planned for you?
We were squashed. I mean, we were, that's where the storyline was going. At that point, there was no storyline. And then that's when we got into the little mix with the Outlaws and then Mark Henry and D'Lo. And that's when we kind of created the Tag Team Champions of the Universe thing. Glenn and I came up with that on our own, and we created that. That started getting a little run, but then we still got stuck with the Oddities, like defending these fake foam belts against these guys, these Oddities guys. And it was kind of like, all right, this really isn't where we thought this would end up going, but okay, what are we going to do?
Well, it's interesting to me, and just to wrap things up and kind of bring it home a little bit, it's interesting to me to look back on your career and how many different twists and turns you've had, singles, tag team, all the different things that you've done, in just those couple years. What do you think is the Chaz Warrington / Headbanger Mosh / Beaver Cleavage, whatever? What is that legacy? How do you want to be remembered, long term?
I just want to be remembered as a guy who did something he loved to do, tried to entertain people, and just went out there and did the best he could, and he, entertained people. People had a good time watching him. People want to tell me, oh, you sucked, you this, whatever. I don't really care. If you think I suck, okay, well, at least you watched me. So you had to know I sucked because you watched it. I just want to be remembered as a guy who went out there, did the best he could, and someone, at this point, I like to give back. I like to go to the shows, and, we work with, a lot of local companies down here in South Florida. And, at this point, I like giving back, and I like helping the young talent. Just, I guess be remembered that way. And that's about it. I never really thought about it.
Well, if people want to keep tabs on what you're doing, I know you have the Twitter. That's, I believe it's at Chaz Mosh. Is that correct?
At Chaz Mosh, yes.
Okay, and you have the Facebook, right?
I have the Facebook, yes.
Okay, and a website, anything like that?
No, we have some stuff, some T-shirts and pictures we sell at WrestlingMarks.com. That's Marks with an X at the end. But other than that, no. I mean, just, you know, we plug the shows we do and come to the shows and hang out and say hi. I mean, I don't really have much to plug other than that.
Well, very good, man. Now, before you go, could I ask a real quick favor of you?
Sure.
Would we be able to get you to record a bumper to play in the beginning of the show?
Sure.
Okay, great. The name of the show is In the Room. My name is Brady Hicks.
In the Room?
I'm done with it, man. Yeah, In the Room.
Okay.
Have fun with it. Whenever.
Ha-ha, this is Headbanger Mosh, and you're listening to In the Room with Brady Hicks. Now get in the room and listen good, because I guarantee you this, it's going to be a simply tremendous time.
You're awesome. Thanks so much, Mosh. It was,
no problem.
It was a blast. You're welcome on any time. I had fun.
All right. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you soon. Right,
thanks
Kathy.
Here. And what we got to do, guys, unfortunately, I think let's take that break. We'll come back. We're definitely going to talk about the network, obviously, because there's a lot to be said there. A lot of exciting things to talk about. And WrestleMania isn't one of them, ironically. But toll-free, 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234. That's the toll-free number, 914-338-1885. We'll be back on the other side, guys. This is In the Room.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Catch the crabs on Crab Nation Live on VOC Nation. Call into the show at 855-862-7234. We say things we shouldn't about politics, news, religion, and inflatable Asian nurses.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, TheBradyHicks.com, and for the first time ever, VOCNation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show, every Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, worldwide on VOCNation.com. Sunday for all, to Greg DeMarco.
Hola, hola, hola. This is Funtime Shelley. I am joined by the lovely Danielle.
Hello.
And what's your favorite time on Monday afternoon?
3 p.m. Eastern on VOCNation.com.
That's because you're going to save wrestling.
Be there or be square. Don't be a nerd.
Don't forget the hashtag.
Don't be tardy.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. NetCarrier has many great products and services to increase your bottom line. Be sure to ask your NetCarrier representative about our hosted PBX. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
Quality Printing Solution is an online printing service that works for your business and your budget. Quality Printing Solution is customer-focused and quality-conscious. At Quality Printing Solution, we provide high-quality printing services in an array of printing styles with a desire to be the best in the printing industry. Whether you are looking for brochures, business cards, catalogs, postcards, calendars, flyers, booklets, or even letterheads, call 888-760-8974 or visit QualityPrintingSolution.com. There's no S in solution. QualityPrintingSolution.com. Call today.
Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County 2013 Specialist in Teenage Driver Training. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident-free. 215-639-1990. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. The VOC Wrestling Nation radio program is live every Wednesday with the hottest guests, the latest news, and lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media. Take it from me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Entertainment with an attitude. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
All right, guys.
That's not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
Hey, let's try this.
Let's try it again. Take two.
There we go.
That's better. Live from the In the Room studios. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll let it play.
You weren't supposed to talk anyway. You got a short memory.
Yeah. Thank God, Brady.
All right. Insert quick here.
So, I heard that the WWE Network is not going to be carried on Earthlink. And I was just curious if anyone else had heard that rumor.
I don't know. I heard it twice from you just now.
855-VOC Radio, 855-862-7234. This is In the Room, proudly part of the VOC Nation Radio Network.
On a related
note,
Hicks,
I've got
related note, Ray, I tried to log on the computer to watch it, and Netscape will just not load it correctly.
That's terrible.
So it's sad.
That's terrible. Okay, the echo's gone for me. Do you still have it?
No, it's gone now. But yeah, I tried to stream it live.
I tried to stream it live,
and just Netscape would not load correctly. And so I tried AOL, and I typed in the keyword WWE Network and AOL keyword. It just wouldn't come up. So
you know, no matter how I adjust my antenna, I can't seem to pick it up, and I'm very annoyed by that. So you know.
Well, Brady, I don't know if you heard. You were getting mosh on the line earlier, but Ray was saying that there were people online complaining and wondering what channel to tune their TV to and why it wasn't showing up.
No idea what you were talking about there.
Yeah, that actually happened. So
yeah.
you might want to actually plug your thing into your TV and then complain it's not working.
And, like, it was a lot of them too. It wasn't like it was just like one person.
No,
what
you're gonna.
Was the time?
You're gonna get it.
I don't want to trash the network, but there are a lot of people. I know it's a minority, but there are still a lot of people who are complaining that they're not getting everything yet. And
that's
we're now 2 days in, and they were going to fix it by 6 Eastern today.
Well, that's a big shame, because what did they have on Sunday? They had nothing. And now they have a lot more than they had Sunday. So suck it up. They'll fix it. There's a billion people trying to get on at the same exact time for like the first 2 days. It will calm down. It will get better. Yes, there's things that we knew would be a problem, like bandwidth-wise, but overall it's been pretty good. I don't know. The one question I have is if there's anybody listening right now that has an Xbox 360 that can't get on, call in. Let me know. From what I understand, I'm not the only one having this problem. So, I mean, luckily I have other ways to watch it, but the 360 is not
working. Yeah, I mean, that is the one good thing, you know, that there were a lot of different ways to experience the network, and so far, other than my one box hooked up to my TV, everything seems to be working great, but I do want to ask you guys, and I do want to put this out for the listeners, if WWE fixes everything, let's say tonight, and it's perfect moving forward, but you've had problems up until now. Can you trust them for WrestleMania? Can you trust the WWE Network?
Well, yeah. The,
because
the thing,
I don't want to take a chance.
Here's the problem. If you do have a problem with it, right, then you just, you know, jump on your cable provider and order it immediately if it's not coming in, so you get it. And then worry about getting your money back and all that shit afterwards. You worry about getting refunded from them saying, look, I had to buy it from the cable company because you dropped the ball, and then you get refunded from them. You worry about it after the fact. I don't think you can worry about what's going to happen wrong and just kind of hope it doesn't. The thing that, you know, obviously it's a scary situation because there hasn't been that pay-per-view traffic yet. I think it would have been a good idea to probably have it ready for Elimination Chamber so they could have worked out some of those pay-per-view bugs if they existed. But and starting with WrestleMania is a scary thought. But on the plus side, the one part about the service that has been pretty much spot on has been the actual live channel. And that is where that's supposed to be. So I haven't spoken to anybody that's had a problem with the actual on-air 24-hour channel.
I just have one tiny little issue with it, is that they will often repeat. Like it will stutter.
I haven't had one hiccup at all.
Once at least every 5 minutes. It would be like, Sean would be like, you know, if I said that, you know, I don't remember it, but I was a jerk back then. And it's just
he
enough
did,
to just be annoying.
But he did say that a lot in that interview, so he may have just been saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he did.
But not back to back like that. You know? And then he hit his head, and he was like, duh, duh. No, I'm like, bad joke.
I'll be honest. I haven't had one hiccup with any of that. It's been, like, perfect. And, I mean, call in if you've had problems. Let us know. Be dialing. Let us know that.
Again, it could be the Roku box. You know, I used the website while I was waiting for the order to go through.
And are you hardwired? Are you wireless?
It's a Wi-Fi.
Well, that's kind of, you got to take that into consideration too, man. You're streaming 720 HD video on a Wi-Fi device, and who the hell knows what the speed you're getting coming in your house is with your modem and your router. So take some of those things into account. They may not be them. There's some stuff in your house.
Jesus.
Holy shit, Brady.
How about you show a little technical savvy? My God. Here you are.
Supposed to come a router for you or something?
Yeah, Brady.
I mean, my God. You know, Brady, here you are. You're bitching about this. Brady, this is like saying, why isn't my house warm? And you're sitting there trying to heat it with a match.
I didn't
know.
Come on now, man. Told me to do. Nikki Bella told me to hook it up to my TV and turn it on. I did that.
Brady, she's the one with large breasts, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Brady, do you always do what women with large breasts tell you to do?
Yeah, Brady pretty much does. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, sounds like Brady.
Yeah. I think next time they do. Next time, no, not right now. One second. Let me get this line in. I think the next instructional video should be done with you, Brady. You could have a man with breasts tell me how to hook up. On that note, go to the dummy on line one.
Dummy in Trenton. What's up, Rat Boy?
Put it this way, all right? The network, I heard something about the network already, okay? I'm not buying it because you know why?
Because they don't give
it
away.
Yeah.
Because
you don't have money?
You have to wait 30 days to see WrestleMania on that damn network.
But you can watch it live.
Or you can watch it when it happens.
Live the day of. You can watch it live when it happens.
So wait, I have to wait until May to see it happen?
That's where you're going to get screwed at.
What the fuck are you talking about?
What do you mean,
Rat Boy?
I don't follow at all.
Because it is that you ain't going to see. You got to wait 30 days to see WrestleMania after it was live.
You can see it live. You have to wait for
the
archive. You can see it live. Because it is that they ain't going to show WrestleMania the same day.
Yes, they are.
You're confused, Rat Boy. What it is
literally
there's going to be a live
stream.
You'll be able to watch it, just if you put a Fox and the Hound or whatever. You can watch it live. But then, after the show is over, you have to wait 30 days if you want to play it again.
Oh, okay.
That's what
Yeah.
But I don't even think that's true, honestly.
But the question of the day is, where were you when you pushed your pants when you saw Hulk Hogan come back? Whatever.
I didn't understand that. The question of the day is, what the hell did Rat Boy just mumble?
He said,
"Yes, where you were when Hulk Hogan came back."
No, he said, "Where were you when
I'm
you
the crapper?" Next question.
When you pissed your pants? Where were you when you pissed your pants when Hulk Hogan came back? I don't think
I didn't piss my pants.
I did not piss my pants. Hogan may have pissed his pants.
On the way to the ring.
I saw the video of Jimmy Hart carrying his Depends with him. Like, here you go, brother.
Hogan's
got his pants. What the hell do you think the red and yellow means now?
Yeah.
bloody urine sample.
Yeah, right.
So I go to Buffalo Wild Wings on Sunday night to check out this elimination chamber.
Okay.
And then your asshole exploded.
Which technically, that is the night that Hulk Hogan, I know he debuted for everybody else on Friday, but that's the night that I saw him. And, you know, that was the night that he debuted for me. And I was sitting next to this weird guy. He kind of smelled a little, and he had glasses and a baseball hat and an Austin 316 shirt, and he was missing a couple teeth. And he's sitting next to me at the bar, Derek, and I'm just thinking, my God, this guy is just going to wait for a cue to talk to me, and he's going to know everything about backstage. I guarantee you. And the second Hulk Hogan came on, he started talking to me about how they signed Hulk Hogan and Sting is next. They faxed in the contract, and he's just got to sign it. And then The Undertaker can get Sting. And it was just terrible. And this guy smelled, and I couldn't get away from him because I'm at the bar. And it was crowded.
And you couldn't,
there was nowhere to go.
And you couldn't insult him because, you know, that's your PWI subscriber base right there.
Pretty much.
So wait a minute. Was Hogan at Elimination Chamber?
No,
but he recorded that commercial.
Oh, the commercial. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, because it hasn't been 30 days yet, so I can't watch it.
You know, it's funny, Brady. I was at Buffalo Wild Wings, too, and there was, like, a group of, there was a guy there, and he had a bunch of his little bad kids with him. He had, like, three or four sons, and they were all sitting there, and they showed the Hulk Hogan commercial. One of the little boy goes, "Dad, it's that old guy from that bad wrestling on Spike TV." And I started laughing to myself. I thought, wow, this is what the common fan thinks of TNA. That's terrible.
Hey, you know what's great about it is, I mean, he got a pop last night, but not really like a Hogan pop. It was just like, okay, there's the music, and we'll cheer a little bit, but it wasn't like overwhelming pop. And I don't know if you saw it. I mean, we've probably been watching the network at all different times, but the network today, you know, they randomly show, like, I saw the Men on a Mission original video today. They were just showing that as a commercial.
That's terrible.
It was horrendous.
I love those little snippets that they put in between the shows.
Yeah, but you hate it. But you hate it, though, right? So, anyway,
no,
we can't talk to you about
it. It's just the video on demand I hate right now.
Well, is the live stream worth $10 alone?
I don't know. I don't know. I shouldn't say that it is for sure. We'll see.
Well, anyway.
I guess it is for the papers if they were.
Right. So this other stuff's all bonus at this point. So my point was, the other thing they showed between, you know what? The thing that I was going to talk about between shows today, in addition to Men on Mission, they showed Billionaire Ted's Boardroom with the Huckster and the Nacho Man. It made me think of it with the Hogan, old Hogan stuff. That was very funny. He's like, "We need guys going up the top ropes." He's like, "Not me, brother. Not me.
Don't leave the ground."
Yeah, but Nacho Man goes, "Not me. That's funny. Anyway,
that was great.
Enough of the network. We got to talk WrestleMania, and I'm getting a little upset because it looks like they are going to screw up this Daniel Bryan thing when they had a perfect opportunity to get him in the main event after what happened on Sunday, and it looks like they're just going to screw that up.
Well, you know what I think?
Seriously?
Me and Brady.
Hang on. They're going to take the old pooch outside and screw him again? Because the pooch's hole, it's getting raw and bloody. And I'm not really sure that the pooch can take much more screwing when it comes to this Daniel Bryan thing.
Pooch,
I'm really not. I'm worried.
I'm
worried for the old pooch there.
You might say they're getting behind the pooch.
Yeah, they are really getting behind the pooch on this one.
Well, I mean, Darren Young is definitely getting behind him.
Derek, what are you saying?
I don't know how to follow that. I was going to say, when it comes to the Daniel Bryan thing, I think they're going to use this Triple H match and have it sort of be like, you know, if he beats Triple H, he gets into the main event of the show, because, you know, you always hear Vince McMahon always wants to end. He always wants to end WrestleMania on a high note, you know. And whether Orton wins or whether Batista wins, they're going to boo that match out of the building. I don't know if he wants Mania. You know, the last glimpse you see of WrestleMania 30 is either Batista or Orton holding up the title, and the fans are just booing them crazy.
So wait, your thought is, I don't think they can do this, but you're saying that, like, Triple H agrees to the match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And he's going to say, if you beat me, you can be in the – we'll make the match a triple threat. So the match with him is obviously going to be earlier in the night. And so he wins. He gets put in the championship at the end. They'll never do that. That's, like, way too much thinking.
I would love that.
I mean,
I would like
yeah,
it.
I would love
that,
too. Yeah, I mean, that would be – I mean, that would – hats off to them if that's what they do.
Yeah, that's
though,
what I'm saying. It seems like way too much for them
yeah.
to think of and for
no,
them to work
on. I think they're far more likely to end the show with Daniel Bryan and Triple H than they are to do that.
No. And then you know, because Batista has to – he has to turn heel now. Like,
oh, that was great last night. That was great last night.
And by the way, how pissed off are you going to be, by the way, when Triple H beats Daniel Bryan and gets his spot
no,
in the main event?
That's not.
Because Triple H is
going
to win that match. I hate to tell you guys.
No, he's not. Great. No,
it's going to stop now. They're going to do the right thing now.
This time they've got to figure it out. Like, you hear a lot of people go, well, he beat Punk after the whole pipe bomb thing, and that's true. And I know a lot of people hate to believe this, but Daniel Bryan right now is bigger than CM Punk was ever during that whole pipe bomb thing. And
oh, yeah.
And you can't, I know we're talking about Hunter the Barbarian here, and this is what he does, but they'd have to hate money to have him beat Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
You know, if we go back to the possibility of Batista or Randy Orton closing WrestleMania with a win and getting booed out of the building.
They booed the shit out of Batista last night.
Yeah, here's the thing with that. That is not a heel turn opportunity heat right there. That is get the hell out of my damn building heat. And I don't really think you can turn someone heel there. I think no matter what, people are just going to be angry. Because I just don't think that's heel turn heat. It's go away heat.
But one second, Derek. I do agree. It's go home. You know, it's go away heat. But I don't think people are necessarily mad at Batista.
They are.
They're mad about what happened. You know, they're still mad about the Royal Rumble, and they're still mad that made no sense.
I mean,
that's really what it is.
I
don't think that they hate Batista if he takes on Luke Harper at WrestleMania and wins. I don't think that they hate Batista in that case.
Yeah, I think if you listen to Daniel Bryan's promo last night when he said, you know, I want to fight Triple H at WrestleMania, they booed that because they only want to see him in the title match. So anybody who's not Daniel Bryan in that situation is going to get booed.
I like the idea of trying to get him in the match, but I think the way they missed the boat by not just doing it yesterday, you know, like...
They missed the boat every step along the way.
No, but I mean, like, they had the opportunity, like, where he got... The way they did with Shawn in WrestleMania 20, when they were able to add him because of something crazy that happened at the match before. They had a chance to put him in and make it right because he got screwed and interference and all that at the Elimination Chamber. Then you could say, okay, well, he's going to have to be rightfully put in or at least earn his way into the match at WrestleMania. But they just totally put him in with Hunter. And now you're pretty much... Here's the thing, Derek. That whole idea about having him earn his way in is a great idea, but it doesn't have much validity when the guy himself doesn't seem to have any motivation to be in the match. He doesn't even want to be in the match anymore. His character wants to wrestle Triple H. And that's bad news.
See, the thing that made me think that is when the pay-per-view went off the air, they were selling the point that every time he gets close, like, what does he have to do to win the title? You know, like, every time he gets close, Triple H screws him, and it's because Triple H doesn't think he's an A-plus player. So, like I said, I'm hoping that's what they do. Is it 40 days till WrestleMania now? So they have enough time, and you mentioned Shawn Michaels. I remember it was so dumb. I remember they were having the contract signing. He came out, he kicked Benoit, and he signed the contract, and it's like, oh, I'm in the match now. So, I mean, there's something they can do now between then and WrestleMania. I hope they do it, because if they don't, people are going to shit on that Batista Orton
match. But the difference there, like I'm saying, is Shawn wanted to be in that match. And, like, the whole storyline said, I still want the title match. if Brian, his character, is flat out saying he wants Triple H and he's not concerned about the title, then there's really no shot that they're going to try to put him in. That's
right.
What's concerning to me. If his character and his storyline says no, shows no interest, there's no motivation there at all to add him.
Here's what I see happening. This isn't what I want to happen, but just based purely off how Daniel Bryan has handled the last 3 days, yes, he's going to take on Triple H at WrestleMania. And if he wins that match, and to me that's a big if, but if he wins it, he's going to have a rematch with Triple H at Extreme Rules probably. And he'll probably have another rematch after that. And then, if he gets through that feud with Triple H, then we're talking about late spring, early summer, you might
SummerSlam.
Start to talk about putting him in the title again.
SummerSlam.
I hate to say it, you know, but I don't think they're rushing him into a title picture, even though they should. And believe me, there's nothing about WrestleMania that makes sense that they've set up so far to me.
No, WWE is all about missing the boat right now. That should be their motto. You know, we have a great network, but we missed the boat with everything else.
Here's the thing. You're saying they're missing the boat. I think that implies they even know where the damn boat is.
Yeah, they don't know where the port is, where the dock is. Like, last night to me, like, did anything – if this Punk thing is a work, which I think people are really starting to believe it is, how do you not have him interrupt Hogan last night? How does he not come out during that promo?
That's the problem.
It's not a work.
Yeah, he's going. I think he's going. Like, I don't think he's coming back. Like, they're in Chicago next week. If he's not in Chicago, then he's going. I saw it on the internet. They pulled him from some Comic-Con appearances around WrestleMania or whatever. So I don't think he's coming back.
Oh,
he is not going to be around.
How about this one? This is another thing that bugs me. For the fifth time in 6 years, The Undertaker has turned heel on Raw heading into WrestleMania, and we all just want to friggin' ignore it, and we all just want to cheer him. Yay, Undertaker! You stabbed the guy in the friggin' hand. He didn't do anything to you.
Yeah, for no reason. Interrupted his interview. Everything.
He had nothing to do with him. He wanted to shout at the title.
He stabbed a guy in the hand that, like, murders other people and is a total dick to other people. So by association, he's a good guy.
He's
an asshole to the guy who's asshole to people. So therefore, he's a good guy. Two negatives make a positive.
What about when he forced the beloved Shawn Michaels into retirement? Was he a good guy that week, that year too?
No, yes. Dude, you don't have to sell me on The Undertaker being a jack-off. I'm right there with you.
I hate that character. I'm
the president.
What do with him. The only year that he had a justification was last year when CM Punk was making fun of Paul Bearer. That's the only time in the last 6 years that they didn't turn him heel going into WrestleMania.
Hey, I'm just happy that that's the only WrestleMania thing I got right, and that was like a month and a half ago.
I just hope Brock Lesnar, like, is having a bad day.
I hope he kills him.
He decides to shoot on him, and he just takes him around. That's what I'm hoping, because I cannot, that guy, like, he looked like the Ministry of Darkness Undertaker's granddad last night. Like, he looks, he's shriveling up like a raisin. Like,
he's terrible.
It's hard to watch.
So if we had...
That'd be great, he just made him tap out.
If we had a race between The Undertaker and the Great Khali, at this point, who would win?
Is it a three-legged race?
Oh, that's nice. I don't know, because Khali, it looks like it pains him to walk, but...
I don't know.
It pains him to breathe.
Khali had his knees removed. But
I know.
I don't know. It's terrible. It's just I don't care. I don't care. Actually, I had this
They're
idea.
They're
gonna
have to
today.
Start. Like legitimately, before you get to your idea, like legitimately, if Undertaker is gonna be at WrestleMania, they're gonna have to open the show with his introduction and then do all the matches. So that
he's on the way to the ring. They're gonna bring back those little ring carts. Somebody driving the little ring cart all the way.
then Bobby the Brain Heenan can get on, and everyone can throw garbage at him. And then years later, someone can dub over Super Nintendo WrestleMania music.
Hey, that
to
is
it,
one
and
thing.
It could be called Andre the Giant's theme.
That's the one thing. That's the one thing I did notice. Going back to it, I know the network with the pay-per-views, one thing I was happy about was that it wasn't edited. It was all WWF stuff, and it was the original music, like the NWO theme and Demolition's theme and all that. However,
how long before the change in that?
One thing I did notice last night, in like my falling asleep stupor, I had Raw on, and I threw on my iPhone, I threw Halloween Havoc 98 on to watch the Warrior and Hogan. And,
You must have been really desperate to go to sleep.
Why punish yourself?
But before, obviously, before I got to Hogan War, you had to watch the beginning of the pay-per-view. The first match on that pay-per-view is Raven versus Chris Jericho, okay? Now, all of you guys that have the network, go on and watch this. Chris Jericho, this is a 1998 Halloween Havoc WCW pay-per-view, okay? Chris Jericho comes to the ring to break the walls down.
Literally.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, am I asleep already? Am I hearing things? I had to wake myself up and rewatch it. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? That's not right. Like, why would they have to? I mean, I was trying to look up what music he used back then. Like, why would they have to edit? I'm like, what the fuck? Why are they taking that out?
Did Raven come out to the call sound?
Yeah. I was like, call. Yeah, it did that. But Jericho was like, I you know I got you, and I was like, wait a minute. I was waiting for like the Y2J shit. I'm like, what is happening here? So yeah, check that out. And maybe knows why that is. The music I found that he had before that wasn't like a huge artist that I had heard about or anything. Like, I don't know why they couldn't use it. I mean, if DDP can use a blatant ripoff of Nirvana, I don't know why. why they can't use that anyway. So sorry, I didn't mean to, I digress, but made me think of that when you mentioned that old stuff. I don't know about this WrestleMania. I'm glad it's only going to cost me $9
if it works.
Well, yeah,
why
it'll
cost
me $9
even if it doesn't work
30 days later.
Also, if the rat boy,
he's still here.
Doesn't come into play. I don't.
Okay.
And actually, you know what? If any of our other callers, if any of our other listeners, like, just have technical problems with the network that they'd like us to walk them through, you know, we can also do tech support, apparently. So, you know, call in, and a friendly black man will explain what's going on with the network. And, you can get your questions sorted out.
Hold on. I want to ask Ratboy a question. You. I'm going to ask Ratboy. All
right, go ahead.
Ratboy. You said you weren't getting the network.
Yeah.
No, but wait, you know it's free for a week, right?
Yeah, I know, but I could still get it on the internet for free.
Oh, there you go, Ratboy.
But why didn't you sign up for a week free so you can see what it's like?
Because you need a credit card.
What?
It's not really a free trial. They charge you right away.
They have like a dollar.
$9.99 on your credit card. And then they deduct it when the time comes.
All right, hold on. I'm going to put him back on hold. I don't care about what he has to say anymore. What, Brady?
This is my understanding, and again, somebody correct me if I'm wrong here.
I heard people weren't getting charged $9.99 when they were signing up for the trial, but I don't know what's going on with that.
My understanding was, this is how I read it to be, because I went and I looked at the fine print. It appears to me as if when you sign up, you have to give them your credit card information. They have to validate that it's a real credit card.
Or PayPal.
And when they do that.
I did PayPal.
Which is usually linked to your credit card or whatever. They put a $9.99
hold on
your card.
Hold. Okay.
A charge, like a pending charge.
Like at a hotel. Like when you go to a hotel and they put like $100.
Right.
So basically
right.
They're saying, so if you don't cancel it in 7 days, that's going to go through.
Right.
Okay, so they didn't charge you.
It, well, no, but it's $9.
You know
what's happening?
No, you don't. No, it is. You do have it. What's happening is people are probably giving debit card numbers, and they're taking $9 or $10 out of their bank account as opposed to giving an actual credit card. That's where the problem with debit cards lie.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. If you have any procedural questions about the network, you could just call the WWE Network hotline at 855-862-7234, and we'll just get you hooked up there.
Yeah, we'll help you out with all your billing questions. Do not use debit cards for purchases or for refunds because they are actually real money, people. It's real money.
Yeah, stop it.
So when they take that out, it's gone. It's not like, you know, a credit you can get back.
You know, speaking of real money, do we all agree that the real reason Ratboy isn't getting the network is because he can't afford it?
Oh, I hope that's not the case.
Ask him. You want to ask him?
No. Okay. If you promise to put him right back on hold, because I don't really want to talk to him. I just kind of want to ask
him. There you go. Good. He's there. Good.
Hey, Ratboy.
Yeah.
Ratboy. Yeah.
Yes.
I just have a question for you.
Go on.
You ready? Okay.
Yes.
So I think the real reason you're not getting the network is because you can't afford it. Confirm or deny.
I'm just going to say I don't own an Xbox. I only got the internet, the computer here. That's all I got, and I can get it for free. Anywhere else.
Okay, so the answer was yes. Thank you, Ratboy.
All right, he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. That's good. I thought he said something about Wikipedia, so I sort of tuned it out after a second.
I only have Wikipedia at my house.
You know, Wikipedia does provide coverage of all the pay-per-views live. You just have to keep refreshing it.
It sucks. I hate when my Wikipedia hiccups. It keeps typing the same match result, and I'm like, wait, I just saw that. I just read that one. Why am I reading it again?
I did that. I'm sorry.
You know,
I'm
here's
sorry.
The thing. My subscription to the Wikipedia network is definitely worth the money.
I gotta see that promo. We're live, pal. Live, pal.
Can we do this again? No, we're live, pal.
We're live, pal.
And I am
live.
The man you are.
Live.
And I have half the brains that you do. I love you.
When Nash and Hall look at each other, they just look at each other like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
I'm hoping they put like old Thunders on there because I want to see you ever remember the episode when Goldberg like ran his car over and Sid's like standing on top of the flat car and he's like, no, like somebody died in a dramatic action movie scene. I want to see that again.
They did show Gold a little vignette with Goldust last night talking about his career and stuff. Did you see that? It was like
several
right before.
Yeah.
They showed it in between every show.
They showed the one of my favorite matches of all time was that backlot brawl with Piper. I still remember that as being like one of the realest matches I've ever seen. They were beating each other's ass.
I like when he describes how he ran him over with the car.
Yeah. He's freaking out.
Yeah.
He's like, he didn't move, so I hit him. And then I thought, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, and he's not getting off.
Oh, God. Brady complains about the network. He's got all these great memories, and it's only been a day.
Well, they keep showing the same clip. I enjoyed that clip tremendously the first five times.
You mentioned like four different things already, Jack Wagon, that you liked.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm sitting at work, and I'm thinking about how terrible this WrestleMania is setting up to be. And I'm thinking, like, probably my 8-year-old niece could book a better WrestleMania with no knowledge of any of the wrestlers or anything. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to put that to the test right now. So what I did, guys, and I took 10 pieces of paper, and I wrote down 10 of the top names in WWE. And I pulled them out randomly, and I paired them. And I did this four times at work today. And all four cards were better than what they have planned for WrestleMania.
But I thought you said you had your niece do it. You're like, that's exactly what I did. By
well,
that, I mean I did something completely different. I just grabbed paper and did it myself.
Basically, I'm just trying to prove that anybody could do this with just randomness. And I'm going to pull two names out right now. You got Bray Wyatt taking on John Cena. Oh,
well, that's already happening.
Oh, well, good job there, Brady.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go, Brady. Way to think outside the box there, kid.
I got Sheamus. I'm telling you, four times my WrestleMania card was better than what they're doing. Sheamus versus The Undertaker. I'm all right with that.
Okay.
Better than Brock. Brock Lesnar.
No, I think Brock might actually kill Undertaker, which I'm
yeah,
all for.
At least there's a chance that Brock can be having a bad day, like Derek said. Hey, if he has a bad day, that dude will go into roid rage and just snap something, and Taker will tap out just out of human defense, and then all of a sudden streaks over. By accident.
He just gets in the ring and goes, I'm not doing this today, old man. I'm sorry.
Fuck this shit.
They weren't even smart enough to, like, play off, like, the stare down that they had in the UFC, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah, when they had that footage, yeah. Well, that was the bike.
They might still.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah,
anyway,
maybe.
Next match.
Well, the next match, I stopped doing it because I drew Brock and Triple H. All right, I'm going to start over.
I thought you were going to give us results of the ones you already did this afternoon.
No. This is
much better do it live.
Batista and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, we're live, buddy.
Pal.
We're live, pal.
Undertaker's going to be taking on John Cena.
Oh, geez.
That's already better. Triple H. Alberto Del Rio. I love it.
Wow.
Yeah, I love it, actually. That's great. I love
that
one, too.
It's better than what they're going to do. Or,
you need to add a piece of paper that has, like, you know, like armored tank on it. So maybe, like, John Cena will draw that next time.
Orton versus Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
And Bray Wyatt versus Sheamus. I like that card better than what they're going to do.
Brady, I have a question.
What?
Why isn't El Torito in your hat that you're drawing these names out of? Yeah.
Yeah, so he's
the top
guy.
He needs 5 men.
Why isn't Bad News Barrett in your hat?
Is Bad News Barrett even a wrestler?
Yeah, what's up with that?
I love this guy,
and I totally agree that, like, people are going to lose their homes over this stupid network. But, come on. Actually, I liked it when he was making fun of the U.S. Olympic team. That was great.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy target.
Speaking of the U.S. Olympic team, I have another gripe for when we do our weekly gripes about them. So, yeah, just keep that in mind.
Okay.
I feel like the show has got way more time left on it than it actually has listed here. Did we get more time on our show?
It looks to me as if we have an extra hour on here.
Yeah, that does not seem right.
Woo!
I'm like, we've been on longer way than 28 minutes.
We're not going an hour and a half. You know, I actually know the reason why. I wasn't aware that he was going to do this, but we've acquired a lot more time for the network. So the idea is to, like, add content and things like that. So if people are interested in podcasting, especially people that are in the industry or whatever, just shoot us an email, voc@vocnation.com, and we will hook you up. But basically, there's a whole lot of time to fill, whereas before we were limited to just 3 hours a day to share with other programs. So
let's take
a
break.
I imagine that's why you give us an hour.
Let's head into our final half hour then. With a break.
That sounds great. 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. Toll free. 914-338-1885. This is In the Room, VOC Nation Radio Network, over the cloud, the net carrier and cloud. VOCNation.com, VRadiox.com. We'll be right back.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network. The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show. Every Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, worldwide on VOCNation.com. Sunday for all, to Greg DeMarco.
Catch the Crabs on Crab Nation Live, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on VOC Nation. Call into the show at 855-862-7234. We say things we shouldn't about politics, news, religion, and inflatable Asian nurses.
RF Video is the world's leading distributor of pro wrestling merchandise and DVDs. They have over 5,000 wrestling titles to choose from your favorite wrestling promotions, WWE, TNA, ECW, and every wrestling promotion in between. RF Video is famous for their shoot interview series where they sit down with your favorite wrestlers from around the world, including the biggest names, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, just to name a few. RF Video has many other unique DVDs to offer, like their in-ring series, face-off DVDs, best-of DVDs with your favorite wrestlers from every promotion around the world. Check out their sister video on demand website, rfvideonow.com, or you can purchase any of RF Video's DVDs by going to rfvideo.com. Head there today.
Hola, hola, hola. This is Funtime Shelly, joined by the lovely Danielle.
What's your favorite time on Monday afternoon?
3 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
That's because you're going to save wrestling.
Be there or be square. Don't be a nerd.
The voice of choice here. Are you looking for a videographer for your event? Maybe a wedding, party, company video? Well, listen, Metro Media Studios is focused on providing high-quality service and customer satisfaction, and they'll do everything they can to meet your needs. They got a variety of services to choose from. They'll make sure that you get the professionally produced video of your dreams. MetroMediaStudios.com. That's Metro with an A, MediaStudios.com. Check them out today.
Quality Printing Solution is an online printing service that works for your business and your budget. Quality Printing Solution is customer-focused and quality-conscious. At Quality Printing Solution, we provide high-quality printing services in an array of printing styles with the desire to be the best in the printing industry. Whether you are looking for brochures, business cards, catalogs, postcards, calendars, flyers, booklets, or even letterheads, call 888-760-8974 or visit QualityPrintingSolution.com. There's no S in solution. QualityPrintingSolution.com. Call today.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Are you tired of paying high telephone and internet bills for your business? It's time to call NetCarrier, baby! If you're ready to take your phone service into the cloud, NetCarrier is the place to go to get the best in telecommunication service. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
The voice of choice, the lovely Amber O'Neill. Check out ArenaChicks.com. That's the best way to follow Arena Chicks.
If you want to know what me and the rest of Arena Chicks are doing, go to ArenaChicks.com because we're so busy, I don't even know. ArenaChicks.com.
Entertainment with an attitude. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
All right, guys. Welcome back to In the Room. There's that music. In the Room, the VOC Nation Radio Network, VOCNation.com, DeepBradyHicks.com. We got about a half an hour now if you guys want to get on the line. 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234. That's the toll-free number, 914-338-1885. And we were talking network and WrestleMania. And I do want to tell you guys that I have a pretty big announcement I've been sitting on for a couple days now. I was going to wait until right before next week's show. But I think instead what I'm going to do is I'm going to say to tune in, to stay tuned in until the end of this show. And I'm going to announce next week's guest. You guys all know who it is. We're all very excited about this, but I want the listeners at home to have some time to let that just to taste it, you know, just to think about it for a little bit. And maybe they even have the chance to What do you want me to say? People are lining up for this,
Eric. You're doing great. You gotta keep going.
I'm doing fine. Whatever. So if people want to send in questions for our guest next week, I think that's a very real thing. We can definitely – I don't know how long we're going to have this guy.
Wow.
But we'll talk about it in about a half an hour or so. just to keep that on the back burner there. We're all very excited.
Taste it up.
So, yeah. What do you want from me? He's somebody people can get behind, you know?
Yeah, so are you.
So are you.
What's that going in? I love that.
Who's that going?
The whole system. I'm hearing an echo again.
Fantastic.
Anyway, we're back, and we're wrapping up the show, right? Are we going to go any more wrestling talk? We're just going to do some lights out.
I think we should phase into some lights out here that will carry us through to the 11 o'clock hour. Ray, I know you had something that you wanted to complain about.
Oh, I have lots of things I don't want to complain about, but I don't want to go first this week. I want someone else to go first.
All right, I'll go first.
Look at that. Derek's got something to complain about.
I know, right? The NFL wants to give out 15-yard penalties for people using the N-word. And I found this kind of funny that, you know, they're trying to stop, you know, racial words from being used on the field when they have a franchise in Washington called the Redskins. I find that very, 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 very funny. So how about you take care of home first, NFL, and stop worrying about what's said on the field and stop, you know, offending, I almost said Indians. I don't want anybody to get mad at me. Stop offending the Native Americans. So the NFL, like, they do these things. Every couple of years they do something, and it's so ridiculous that you have to laugh at it. And the fact that they tell Native Americans, well, Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, he says things like, oh, that's not an offensive word. Well, you're not a Native American, so you can't tell them what to be offended by, sir. So
you don't like bullets either, though, do you, Derek?
I don't like who?
Bullets.
The bullets?
That's the Washington Bullets?
Yeah.
Well, they're not called the Bullets anymore. They're called the Wizards.
I know, but they shouldn't have changed it. It's stupid.
Yeah, why was that offensive?
I think
Washington, D.C. kept getting shot. Ironically, changing the name of
the
team resulted in exactly fewer people getting shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So they had to change it, I guess.
You had more people walking around with wands now instead.
Yeah. You do. There's a large...
People putting spells on everyone.
There's a large population of bearded old men in pointy hats now.
Right. Putting deathly spells on people.
That's what Mr. Wizard lives there. Remember him from Nickelodeon, Mr. Wizard?
I remember
terrible.
Mr. Wizard.
I hope that, listen, I'm sure that the name Redskins is offensive to some people, sure. But it's been around forever. I hate to see it change.
Okay, how about this? Like, how about this? As a compromise, you can make a team called the Dumb Pollocks, and I will not be offended by it at all. And you can have a guy come out and, like, you can have a guy come out in some sort of weird, like, Eastern European traditional garb and dance around at the center of the field, and I will just not be offended at all. So just go ahead and do that. That's fine. That's my compromise. You can do that to them.
This is all taking an ugly turn, and maybe that's partially my fault, but we're going to get it back on track right now. Mike Bessler from the pages of PWI calling in, all of our good friends. What's going on, Mike? How are we feeling tonight?
Hey, guys. It's great to be back on a quality podcast. This is the Greg DeMarco show, right?
Who?
There you go.
Very funny, Mike. Very fun.
Yeah, I try. Well, it's the commercials. The commercials kind of stick with me.
The Greg DeMarco show.
The Greg DeMarco show.
Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Don't forget to stop at P.F. Chang's.
Do you guys know why I'm calling in right now?
No clue.
I hadn't intended on even listening to this show in all candor, but I've been getting the spinning wheel of death on the WWE Network for like hours now.
I feel you, Mike. I feel you. The whole thing. I think it works great for the privileged 1%. You know.
1%.
Brady,
it's yes. 1%. Yes, Brady, you and Mike are the 99%.
Yeah, I don't think I don't consider myself in that privileged 1%, but I can watch it right now.
Well, only Derek and I are part of the privileged 1% because we negotiated fat contracts with Brady Hicks.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Derek, what do you say we go light $100 bills and toast this caviar?
That's right. Go ahead, Brady, keep talking.
Fat
no,
stacks.
No, Mike. You're a...
Yes, go ahead, Tors.
How is your live
talk
stream?
About your lack of a network.
Let's go to Charlie
how
Bucket
is your live
on...
Stream?
Let's go to Charlie Bucket on line 4. Go ahead, Charlie.
Oh, Mike.
That's you, Mike.
How has your live stream been?
It's... Huh?
How has your live stream been, Mike?
He's getting to that age where his live stream isn't as powerful as it used to be. But you know,
I understand, it's
still going strong.
Take some Flomax. Take some Flomax. Okay.
Yeah. I was desperately looking for a urinary tract joke there, and everybody beat me to it. So it's I was watching a little bit of the live stream tonight, actually, for the first time, because everybody was telling me how awesome it is, and it actually stopped and started on me a few times.
I have that problem, too.
So last night was not so bad, but today's actually been a little bit more disappointing. I'm crestfallen, Brady. It's the worst thing that's happened to me since Wrestling Mark's Eric unfriended me on Facebook, actually.
Now, are you Wi-Fi, Mark? Mike, are you...
Who the fuck is that?
Let it go.
Yeah, Brady knows.
Are you Wi-Fiing it on a computer?
No, I have the cable modem running to my desktop, so and that's where I tried to watch it. I haven't tried to watch it on any Wi-Fi devices because I mean I'm guessing that would be worse, right?
Right, most likely. But you are watching it. You are hardwired on a computer. You're watching. I do notice that the computer is not as effective as an actual, streaming device like a with an app on it. Whether it be the phone, whether it be an iPad or a Roku or a PlayStation, any of that stuff.
It's all anecdotal, but I mean, I saw some people on, I want to say it was actually Kevin McElvaney's Facebook post tonight, and some of his friends were saying they were having trouble on Roku.
Yeah, that's Brady's.
This would be the first I've heard of that.
Brady's having that problem, but.
Sometimes I'll have to. Restart a show 5 and 6 times, even in the beginning, until I find a stream that actually seems to catch. But I'll tell you what, I've got the TV 14 things down. Like I have no problem loading those every time.
I didn't hear the beginning of the show when you guys were talking about it, but. I mean, does everybody have a pretty high degree of confidence that this is going to be sorted out and that it'll be, in the long run, it'll be working well?
I don't think it's that bad to begin with. Mine's been pretty good. But I do think they'll fix these isolated problems. There's like a billion people hitting this thing in 2 days, and they didn't go about it the best way as far as having it tested.
I don't know if a billion is a confirmed statistic. I know that you keep throwing that out there.
That's why I said like a billion, and I'm being, I'm being overly dramatic, jackass. But like, the thing about it is, they are, I think, working on remedying some of this stuff. And the other thing is that my concern is that they try to do all this traffic at once, as opposed to like doing it in tiers and like kind of working up to it. And maybe like actually having a large amount of people come in before they brought everybody in. So the live stream for a pay-per-view is kind of concerning, because once everybody hits this thing trying to watch WrestleMania at one time, it worries me a little bit. So
yeah.
I think that the other thing that I have read, and I don't know if it's affected by this or not, but there's a lot of things going on with Netflix now, with these online providers like Verizon in particular and Comcast up until yesterday, that they didn't have an agreement for extra bandwidth that they wanted. So I don't know if – I know Verizon didn't do it, but Comcast just signed an agreement with Netflix to open up more bandwidth. So I don't know if that's going to – be affected by this or not. I think it all has to do with your provider as well. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's circumstances are a little different. You are hardwired into a computer, but if you have a different type of you have Verizon or I have Comcast or Time Warner or whoever people have, it's all going to be a little bit different. So I think they are working on it.
Can I just build my own bandwidths and then open them and then get people to – can I do that? Is that a thing?
Yeah, you've invested a lot in Bitcoin,
haven't you, right?
You know, actually, after I heard about Bitcoin collapsing on NPR today, Mike, I'm sure it shocks you that I listen to NPR, but I do.
I was trying not to register disbelief.
The show At Issue has actually grown on me as background noise at work. But actually, once I heard about Bitcoin's collapse, I decided I'm going to start my own currency. And I'm going to cut it up. I'm going to get sticks, and I'm going to cut them up into little circles, and I'm going to paint them different colors. And I'm going to call it Stick Coin. And they're all going to be worth $1 billion, and you have to pay
each one
half of what they're worth.
Wait till you hear what my currency is going to be.
It's a similar type of concept as you,
but instead of going to get sticks, I'm just going to eat a ton of fiber, and I'm just going to let it rip. And then that will be chopped up, and guess what that's going to be called? You got it.
Poop coin.
Shit coin. Yeah. You nailed it.
Chipwreck.
Did I get everybody back on? Did I get everybody back on point, Brady?
You betcha.
Did I help the show?
You did. You did, Mike. Thank you.
Please don't.
No, the question of the day, Mike. And like I said, this is particularly disconcerting for me because I feel like I did everything that Nikki Bella told me to do. Heading into this, you know, I plug the HDMI cable into my TV, and I turn my Roku box on. And beyond that, it doesn't work. And like I said, I did everything that Nikki Bella told me. The question of the day, Mike, is are you going to trust this for WrestleMania, even if it fixes itself tonight?
I don't know. I'm not going to spend an additional $60, $65 on WrestleMania, that's for sure. Because this should work, but I mean, am I going to invite a bunch of people over here to watch it on something that's unpredictable? No, I mean it'll be a different kind of. I mean, let's face it, the title match isn't something that a lot of people want to come over and see anyway.
I think you'll have a better idea by then if it works or not, though. You do have overhead.
But I think you know it's you know you use that kind of the sports. Cliche excuse, it's a rebuilding year. I think this will be kind of a rebuilding year for WrestleMania, even though it shouldn't be, because it's WrestleMania 30. I think that, I mean, I'm at least going to go about some things differently this year. And I'll be sitting here at my computer hoping that it works, and I probably won't have a big to-do this year, because I don't want to spend money on top of what I've already spent.
Yeah, I think karma's a real bitch, and by taking it away from New York, they're getting what they deserve. So...
right, pretty much.
Yep. Enjoy that, New Orleans. Hey, have a good time.
Hey, Brady, I've got to head out, but I had a quick question for you. Every time I go to call in the show, I can't remember the VOC number, so I go to your page first, and you got the old number on there. So I had to go to the VOC Nation homepage tonight to get the number. And I had a question looking at the page. Who gives me the lap dance if I become a member of the VOC Nation Silver Supporter Club?
Brady. Or Derek.
The big breasted man. Yeah.
The big breasted man.
I want to get the word out. You could be a silver supporter, a gold supporter, or a platinum supporter.
Well, if you're a platinum supporter, DJ and I actually come to your house and show you how to hook up the WWE network properly.
Right. Brady will actually support anything you give him. Yeah.
What's that? If I'm a stick coin supporter, is that if I pay in stick coin shares?
Listen, if you donate in stick coins, yeah.
Actually, I come give you a lap dance.
Right. Now, if you donate one to four shit coins, then I will be there.
All right. As long as it's not Rat Boy, you know, whoever shows up.
I'm confident Rat Boy's got some shit coins laying around his house.
By the by, Mike. Rat boy, I know you got to get going, Mike, but definitely tune in at the end of the show because major announcement about next week, Mike. Yeah, the guest coming on the air. Good friend of mine. Good friend of yours.
Yeah.
Good friend of just about everybody here. And
except Ray.
I'll be honest, he's a little tickered right now, so it'll be interesting.
All right, guys. Well, take care. Keep
all right, Mike.
Good work.
See you later, Mike.
On
the page of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, that was Mike Bessler. And we're
right. What's your gripe?
Okay, so my gripe here is you know the Olympics are on as background noise a lot here at night, and during the last day and the closing ceremonies, I kept hearing about how all these Olympians are so inspiring. They overcame so much. But first off, fuck you. All their parents are loaded, and I know they're loaded because they're all participating in sports that no normal people can participate in because it costs like tens of thousands of dollars just to like get you like close. Like, are you kidding me? Like, if you have a little daughter and like she wants to go figure skating, you better hit the fucking lottery or like sell coke or suck dick or something because it is gonna cost you a fucking. Bet your buttload of shit coins or real money, perhaps, or just like bars of gold to get that little girl on the ice. And then she might suck.
She better if she needs the money.
So fuck you. None of these people have overcame anything. Second off, there's not even a place, even if your kid wants to learn how to luge or bobsled, there's not even a place to like do it. I guess if your kid wants to learn how to skeleton, you can like put him on like a sheet of aluminum foil and take him up to a really tall hill and just kind of shove him down and see what happens.
What's the one where you're allowed to shoot the gun at the same time? Where do you practice that?
Yeah. Well, I guess what you do is you just like strap skis to your kid and give him like a BB gun or something and
right.
Say, hey,
paintball.
Fucking go nuts.
Paintball.
None of these things are inspiring. And you know why? Because I have to actually be able to do them. I have to look at them and say, you know what, I can do that. And that leaves me with only one sport that could be inspiring to me at the Winter Olympics, and that's curling. Because I'm pretty sure I could slide a stone down the ice. And I'm pretty sure I could sweep a little bit in front of it and, like, do that. It seems like I think we would be great at curling because I don't think any of us would have to do much. You get fucking fat ass Hicks there, and he can slide the stone down, and Derek and I, Brady, you have a lot of power. You have a lot of power.
Oh my God!
Sector there, and you can just like put it into the stone, and then like the Derek and I as what I assume are the two fittest individuals here.
Wow.
DJ, you might be more fit than me because I chain smoke. So you might be able to get down the ice a little faster. But, any two of us, and we just kind of sweep down the ice, I think we'd be great at it. It can't be any harder than shuffleboard. So now I've just talked myself out of even that being inspiring, because who the fuck's ever been inspired by shuffleboard?
So pretty
fuck
much
you,
anyone
Olympics.
Can curl except
fuck
for me.
Fuck you. No, you're the guy who, you're the hurler. You're the guy who gets the stone in his arm, and then he takes his powerful midsection, and he gets behind the stone, and he flings it. Down the ice, and then I, the man who can't breathe very well, or DJ, the man who's just sitting around masturbating to the WWE Network, or Derek, our athletic black individual, and we just run down the ice and we sweep around the stone. I think we could do that, but the rest of the sports, fuck you, we can't fucking be inspired by that. Are you kidding me? All these people are wealthy and shit.
Man.
Well, that rant gets us.
Jesus.
Going to drive the deep left. It's got a chance. Heads out of here.
Good rant.
Oh, that's.
Are you kidding me? Get this crap the hell off my television.
By the way, while we're ranting about the Winter Olympics, I don't usually watch hockey till the playoffs. But on the women's USA team, way to play whistle to whistle. Good job. Way to hustle the whole damn time. Jesus Christ.
I'll tell you what, I've seen pictures of that figure skater, that Gracie Gold on there. No, fuck you. You are dressed up like a goddamn bimbo. Oh, she's inspiring. No, she's not. You know who's paying attention to the figure skating at the Winter Olympics? Gay people? at people who want to like beat off the little kids. That's it. Those are the only people.
Oh my god.
God damn it. I'm serious. I'm standing in line trying to get groceries the other day. There's a picture of her just like looking up smiling, you know, face painted up like a fucking clown. Jesus.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
God.
Maybe that's why
Darren
Young lost
all
on
right.
Sunday because the Olympics is over, so he can't watch on the figure skating.
Hey, Derek.
God.
He's like trying to get out
somebody
of that.
Else take this. I'm going to have a heart attack. God.
Peppers, you better go grab an e-cigarette or something. You'll be all right.
take it easy, buddy. Wow, that was awesome.
Yeah, I got nothing
somebody
to follow
else
that.
Now. I'm tired.
I did not expect you to take it there. Wow.
It seems like my little rant about my W-2 looks like shit compared to that now. So like,
jeez. Oh, the thing about Coke, it's, you know, selling Coke so your child can ice skate. That's hilarious.
It's one or the other. It's either sell Coke or... Yeah.
Oh, crying.
But
they usually
go together, though. You usually have to do one to get...
One usually leads to the other, yeah.
Right.
It's a gateway.
Oh, God.
The gateway suck. Yeah.
Tonight on 2020, an epidemic of parents sucking dick to send their children to figure skating camps.
That's crazy. Oh, man, thank you. I needed that. Thank you.
Great. Brady, what do you got? I think you want to announce the guest? Because I think we're pretty much done.
Yeah, I think we're done. I don't know where you go from there. next week, guys, I'm very excited about this. He's been on the show twice now. He's a former Ring of Honor 2-time champion. He's a former TNA heavyweight champion. And he is our good friend. He's A-double, Austin Aries. We'll be stepping back in the room next week, and just keep this in mind too. This is the time of the year when he's in high demand. As far as I know, this is the only interview he's doing next week, heading into TNA's lockdown. So, if you guys have any questions you want to send in, hit up the In the Room Facebook page.
Which could arguably be the last pay-per-view for TNA. Yeah. So who the hell knows?
There are a lot of people saying it could be. Certainly the last real pay-per-view, you know? I mean, because they do those Impact Wrestling pay-per-views that are really just TV shows. So, anyway, Austin Aries next week. I think he's going to be our biggest guest that we've had in quite a long time. And I understand he's got some stuff he wants to get off his chest. So,
so does Brady.
I'm pretty happy with
him. Do some push-ups.
It's rippling.
Everybody enjoy the WWE Network this week. Go online when your device isn't working and enjoy it, and hopefully it gets better. That's all I can tell you. Hopefully it gets better. Hopefully WWE gets better. Because we should be able to. This is that magical
time. Get your kids
out
of figure skating, yeah.
and
that's
Coke.
That's the best thing I could do.
That's too high of an action
party. Thank you, everybody, for checking out In the Room this week. Proudly part of the VOC Nation Radio Network, vocnation.com, bbradyhicks.com. We'll be back next week, 9-8 Central, right here, over the Net Carrier NCloud. This has been In the Room. We'll see you guys next week with Austin Aries.
Not available on Netscape.